Thank you, Grace, for starting us off today. Let's take our blue book, 208, Love Came Down at Christmas. A very simple comment, Jesus became flesh and became one of us. And then there's an encouragement for us to sing praise, sing Noel, after every one of those verses. All right, I invite you to stand.
Good morning. Welcome to everyone here and to everyone that is listening online. Welcome to our fourth Advent service. Today we dare to imagine God's face. What amazing love is this, that the Godhead comes down to us in the little clan of a little people and takes on a human face. With Mary, we rejoice in God, our Savior, by actively participating in God's leveling mercy. Come, come as you are. Come with your needs, your doubts, your dreams, your hopes. Come, expecting God to meet us here and in the innermost longing of our souls. Watch. Wait. God is present in our worship. Let's pray. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we declare our awe of you and our love for you, Lord Jesus. Open the eyes of our hearts to behold even more of your beauty. Expand the chambers of our hearts to make room even more of your grace and glory. Free us to be generous and joyful as the Magi. Free us to love as you love us, to forgive as you have forgiven us. Amen. Thank you, Esther. Let's read the candle litany together. We light a candle of love and imagine. We light the candle and pray for God's face to shine on us, to save us, restore us. Imagine that we are God's wonders, blessed wonders.
Let's take our green book, and sing He Came Down, the first stanza, He Came Down That We May Have Love. And I invite you to stand. I'm getting some protests here. One verse isn't enough, so I guess we're doing all of them. The whole thing? Okay, so that means we're starting off actually then with hope, which isn't printed in there. And then find the one that says peace. And then there's the next one, which is joy. And then today is the new one, love. Thanks for that great singing. Well, the next one we want to sing is in the blue book. When We Walk with the Lord, 544. Well, some of you might think first, trust and obey. That one you might recognize more quickly. Okay, nobody's up here to protest now, so we're going to sing stanzas 1 and 3. And stanza 3 says something about, where does it say? But we never can prove the delights of His love. What does that mean? To prove the delights of His love. Well, you can't find out until all on the altar we lay. You think, well, what's an altar? I just remember that from Sunday school, but maybe somebody missed that day. So the altars, I think of the Old Testament, where you create a sacrifice to the Lord. And we become that sacrifice when we give our life to the Lord. So, but you can't just kind of put part of you on there. So to prove the delights of His love, to experience them, is to put everything on the altar. Let's stand and sing 544 stanzas, 1 and 3.
Thank you. We're going to have a special offering before the offering.
Marion and I would like to sing a song for you, which we stumbled on yesterday, well, not for the first time, but because the theme was seeing God's face, which is kind of scary in a way, would you think, really? But when you think of it as Jesus being born among us, that's nice and comforting for me. Have you got the pitch? Oh. We're going to sing 435. It's in the blue book. And on the 1, 2, 3, 4 line, it says, "Lift your eyes and see God's face, full of grace forever."
May the Lord mighty God bless and keep you forever. Grant you peace, perfect peace, courage in every endeavor. Lift your eyes and see God's face, full of grace forever. May the Lord mighty God bless and keep you forever.
Thank you for that offering. I had a professor at AMBS that used to say, never miss a chance to bless others. And we might think, well, I'm not a priest or a pastor or anything like that, but there is efficacy in the words, and that song was Ken and Marion's blessing on us, and we're asking for God's blessing on each other. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the life that you have granted us, and thank you for demonstrating your love toward us by sending your Son to live among us. So many years ago, we wish it was right now, and yet I think we doubt whether or not we would really recognize you. But we do pray, and we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to be able to recognize your presence in our lives. We thank you for the many ways that you have blessed us throughout this week, hearing our prayers that we prayed last Sunday, seeing answers to prayer. And even now, as we continue to pray for those who are in pain, in the hospital, caring for others, or for those who are here carrying the pain in their hearts, we know that you are here, surrounding us with love, lifting us, encouraging us, and guiding us on our way. Thank you for this very special season and the freedom that we have to celebrate it. And we pray for all of those who are not allowed to celebrate as freely as we are, those who are facing national disasters, or economic hardship, so many things we can't even begin to name in so many different places. Help us to have at least a little bit of discipline to put our own desires for joy and celebration aside, to remember our brothers and sisters who are struggling in so many different ways, in so many different places. Because this is truly the face of love. We bring before you all the other churches that are in Swift Current, and not only those, but the other Mennonite churches in Saskatchewan, especially Warman Mennonite, and their leaders. We pray, of course, for the struggle against this pandemic and all of those that have been lost within it in these last 2 years, as well as those still struggling for their lives and for their health and for those in healthcare and government. Give us wisdom in our thinking, in our decision making, and definitely in our speaking. These and so many other things we lift to you as our gift, the way we have lifted our offering today, and we ask for your blessing on that. But we also ask your blessing on our lives, on our very being. And we raise our voices together as one voice to pray as you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As the choir comes up, I invite you to take your green book, number 105. Don't be afraid. This song is written in the voice of God, and when we sing it, we are speaking God's word to ourselves, to myself, and to each other, and to the world. And the words that we are saying, what God is saying is, don't be afraid. My love is stronger than your fear, and I have promised to be always near. I'll invite you to remain seated. The choir will sing it twice, and then join us to sing it two more times.
Don't you
For the scripture this morning, please turn to Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5a. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, you who are one with the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would dare to say what most people in the congregation or many congregations hate to hear, that the whole message or the whole sermon has already been preached. It's been preached in all of the songs that we've sung and the words that we have spoken. I've heard it again and again. And so there's no need for me to preach. And then, of course, we all know what happens. The preacher goes on to preach and preach and preach and never stop. So I hope that doesn't happen today. No, I am sure that it will not by God's grace. But in fact, that message for today has been spoken and sung. In fact, one of our songs even talked about God's great dare. Did you hear that? I was singing it and I'm like, oh, look at that. There it is. Because we're here to dare to imagine. Let's not just jump into the imagining part, but it is a dare because there's danger or mockery or scorn. You might look stupid if you do this. These are all reasons for why it's a dare. Do you remember daring other kids to do stuff? I dare you. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Bring any memories back? Oh, I remember doing that all the time. And now we're far too mature to do things like that. And so even this statement that is our Advent theme, dare to imagine, sort of feels uncomfortable. And some people will prefer to just turn off, tune into a different station until something more suitable comes on. But I'll keep repeating myself. Dare to imagine. And if we're looking back here, we see Lily is still there, sitting in her posture of contemplation, daring to imagine as she lifts her face to the great big star that doesn't take very much imagination. I was thinking about that today. When you look out at the stars, they're awfully tiny. And there's no imagination necessary to see this star. I think you could probably even see it from the street. But then if you look at the star in light of the whole universe, all of the planets, the sun, the earth, all of that together, and then imagine God's face. And as Ken already mentioned, that's a scary thing. Imagine God's face. No, let's just jump from that, jump into love, because today is Love Sunday, much more comfortable. And we look at the four candles. Ah, now I'm comfortable again. I can calm down. I can remember. Yes, we're talking about the four Sundays. The first one was hope, and then peace, and then joy, and then love, and all of the anxiety and the fear goes away. And yet, I want to return us to that place of fear and anxiety. I want to return us to that dare of imagining God's face. Imagining it. We are invited to imagine God's face. Some people have told me, no, I can't imagine anymore. That's for children and their imagination. We adults, and the older we get, we cease to imagine anything. We've seen it all. Isn't that true? I've seen everything. Nothing can surprise us. We can't even imagine anything new, anything different. I can't imagine. And for some of the previous Sundays, people have, in fact, told me, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine, last week, God singing over me. God singing? Okay, I can imagine us singing because we've sung. But I can't imagine God singing. I can't imagine God's embrace. And then today, imagine God's face. And our songs and the psalms that we have read and heard read previously, unto thee I lift up my eyes. Isn't that true? I lift up my eyes. How far do you lift up your eyes in imagining God's face? Psalm 80, verse 3 and 7 and 19, keep repeating that phrase. To thee I lift up my eyes. I'm looking to God for mercy. I'm looking up, and yet something in us resists. And if we look historically, and if we look at the Old Testament, they're commanded. You are not supposed to have any graven image, no image of God that you would look on. Well, doesn't that kind of then say you're not supposed to imagine God? Isn't that true? We're not supposed to imagine what God looks like and try to make something, make a picture or a form or something like that. So what are we supposed to do here? Imagine or not imagine? I would invite us that, yes, while we don't want to make a graven image, we're invited to see what is not there. To see what's not there. We spend too much of our time seeing what is right in front of us. We see one another, we see our actions, we see what's happening around the world. Television and internet helps us to see everything. But now let's join together with the prophet, and especially today, Micah. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon from Micah before. Advent is just such a perfect time to open up these small, they're called minor prophets. And that kind of fits in with today's theme of rethinking big and small. Rethinking big and small. We all want to be big. We all want to be great. And we know, we're told every Sunday, especially in this Peace Church, you know, the least of you shall be the greatest. The first shall be last. We always talk about that when we go for a potluck. And the one that's standing at the end of the line, oh, don't worry, in heaven, the last will be first and the first are going to be last. We don't really believe it. We don't believe it because we look and we see what we see. The prophets saw what they couldn't see. The prophets were seeing what was not there. And we're invited to do the same. And the minor prophet Micah was a prophet in Judah. Now, this is Israel. This is God's people. God's prophet to God's people and saying to you, but you, O Bethlehem of Ephrata, you're one of the little clans of Judah. Oh, and then you're going to have a ruler come forth, and you are going to be great. And immediately our mind goes, oh, okay, we're small now, but we're going to be the best. We're going to be the best. We're nobody now, but we're going to be big. I want us to challenge ourselves and put that aside and to say, What's small, what's least, is the best. Think about yourself. Think about even our church. I know there's a couple of people here who like to say, oh, I love a small, intimate congregation. This is the best. And yet there are also many who remember when all of these pews were packed full and the balcony was packed full, and we want to be a big, powerful, strong, influential church, even in Swift Current. Daring to imagine God's face requires that we see what we don't see, as the prophet did. And this prophet was in Judah, the small part of Israel. There were 10 tribes and 2 tribes. And the 10 tribes, they were at the top, that's why I'm doing it like this. The 10 tribes had more power, and yet they were being bombarded, besieged, and they were actually going to fall. If you want some history, the fall of Israel, 722 BC. And then Judah fell in 701. We hear these terms all the time. Think about it in the form of churches. You know, we know about churches that used to be great and big and strong and then all of a sudden had to close. And we feel sad and we mourn and we think, oh, that can't happen to us, that can't happen to us. And that's exactly what the prophet here in Judah was looking at the two tribes and saying, this disaster is coming. I am prophesying. I see what is going to happen, and there's going to be collapse, not only of the 10 strong tribes, but even of the 2 small tribes. And then the prophet was seeing what couldn't be seen. In the middle of that prophecy, the prophet was also seeing, but you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, you're the little clan, and that is where the ruler is going to come from. You, O Zion Mennonite Church in Swift Current, you're one of the small churches in the city. We want to be big. We want more people. We want. Forget it. Let's rethink and say, yes, this is where God works. God works with remnants. God works with smallness. God works so that God's glory can be displayed and not our own glory. See how great we are. Seeing what is not there is the big dare. The prophet has the vision given from God. And we are invited to also have vision. For those who say, I don't imagine, I can't imagine, let's reimagine all of the things we imagine at Christmas. Who has had visions of sugar plums dancing in their heads? Yeah, none of us, but we know what we're talking about, right? All of these things that we talk about, sing about, see, and all, this is so imaginary. All of the Advent and Christmas stuff that has become big sellers around the world. This is what we can see. I dare you all to imagine what we cannot see in the midst of this. Like the prophet, lift your eyes and allow yourself to see what you can't see. The prophet was speaking to God's people, and the love that God wanted to show to God's people was contingent on something else that was very well seen, which was injustice. Seems like this is the worst Christmas sermon ever, right? Yeah, you want me to talk about the shepherds coming and about Mary and Joseph and the lovely baby? That's imagination, people. And we heard it last night. The story that we keep telling ourselves around that is imagination. We have to see what is actually not visible. And God is saying to God's people, I see who you are. You are my people, and yet my judgment is coming upon you. Because there's injustice. Because my love is demonstrated in the least of these. My love is demonstrated in the least of these. And when we are thinking big and great and grand, what happens to the least? What happens? They're forgotten. Their size diminishes. We forge ahead. We try to build. We trample on the least of these. And that was Micah's prophecy to God's people, that God's judgment was coming on them because of their injustice, because of their treatment of the least of these. If we are going to imagine God's face, we have to know what is there. And we see that in the prophecy, that God is there. There is God. And this God is a God of love, yes. The love that makes us feel all warm and cozy at Christmas, yes. Wonderful. But that love comes with justice. We know the prophet Micah because the favorite Mennonite verse is in Micah chapter 6. If you keep reading past all of this stuff, read past the uncomfortable prophecy, and oh, they're going to turn their swords into plowshares. Sound familiar? And what does God require of you, O people? Sound familiar? I'm looking for it. 6 verse 8, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require? To do justice. Love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. This is the love that God demonstrated towards us. To us. While we were God's enemies, God sent God's love in the face of Jesus. That is the face that we can gaze on and see love. And what did that love demonstrate? To the least of these. So maybe this Christmas message is reproof. Maybe there's remorse. But then, if there is and a turning back, then we can turn to the God of love, who sends love to the least of these. How are we treating the least of these? What can I bring to this God? What can I offer? Do justice, love, kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We have to know what is there and leave all of this other trapping and this other imaginary stuff that is not and follow the demonstration of Jesus' love to the least of these.
Thank you, Lois, for continuing to speak from the heart. Let's take our purple book. Our purple book, number 28, and it's called Holy Child Within a Manger. Well, some of us might not know it, but it's like meeting a stranger or maybe a potential friend. Marty Hogan, he did both of them, the melody and the text. What's going on here? Maybe God's at work. So I just want to draw attention to a couple of spots. The first one, Holy Child Within a Manger Long Ago. Well, he was a baby then. And then it says, Yet Ever Near. Well, I guess he's not near us like a baby. That would be work. Well, it is work, but not that way. And it's very interesting. The second line, if you look at the second verse, when the image of your glory wore an image like our own, he became human. And it's a prayer, come enlighten us with your wisdom. And in the last stanza, this is really our response to Lois's message. Holy child within the manger, lead us ever in your way. So we see in every stranger how you come to us today. In our lives and in our living, give us strength to live as
thank you.
Thank you for that sung benediction and the blessing that we've received from you through that. Let's take our blue book and sing Joy to the World. It's 318, and just keep thinking the last few words of the last stanza, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.